This is DW News live from Berlin. The bitter standoff between Warsaw and Brussels deepens as the EU's top court fines Poland €1 million a day. The European Commission accuses Warsaw of refusing to guarantee an independent judiciary. Also coming up, France marks the return of several Benin bronzes looted from West Africa during the colonial era. With some 90,000 African artworks held in French museums, French President Emmanuel Macron calls for more to be given back. And authorities say two people inspected the gun used by Alec Baldwin in a fatal movie set shooting, but no one noticed a live round inside of it. Police also found 500 rounds of ammunition, some of it live, leaving many questions unanswered. I'm Sumi Somaskanda. Glad you could join us. The EU's top court is fining Poland €1 million a day to prevent what it calls serious and irreparable harm to the EU's legal order and values. The European Court of Justice says Warsaw failed to observe an earlier EU ruling that demanded changes to some of Poland's judicial reforms. In July, the European Commission found that the Polish Supreme Court's new disciplinary chamber failed to guarantee judicial independence. That's in violation of EU law. Now, several EU member states accused Poland of accepting EU subsidies while rejecting its values. Let's go right to our correspondent Magdalena Gworst in Poland. She's calling in Poland for us. Magdalena, Poland is calling this blackmail. So tell us more about the reactions that you've seen there in Warsaw.
Well, there are many of them today, as you can imagine. And, for example, one of them is one of the former Prime Minister Szydło, which is from the ruling Peace Party. She wrote, "This is a clear proof that EU institutions want to put pressure on Poland instead of entering into dialogue. This will badly impact levels of trust." And later on, she writes what the ruling party says since months, that actually it should be like that, that Poland has to decide what to do with its justice system, how to organize it. And of course, you have on the other side the opposition, who's blaming the ruling party for what is happening now. And they are saying today we're falling lower and lower, and who knows where it will end.
If we look at the issue at hand here, the court's ruling was about a disciplinary mechanism for Polish judges that the EU says strips these judges of their independence. Will this mechanism actually be removed?
Well, it was promised many times, but opposition is claiming today that they haven't even seen a paper with a project or something like that to, you know, to make it not work anymore, this disciplinary chamber. And one of the ruling party politicians told today there is a project, but they just needed a little bit more time to prepare it. But as you see today, because we are speaking today, we don't know how it looks like.
If Poland does not change this mechanism in a way that's considered sufficient for the EU, what happens next?
Well, this is actually a question to be asked in Brussels. But as far as I understand, there are some procedures to take the money either from Poland. I mean, just to take it, you know, from the money that normally should come from the EU to Poland. So I was told today they have to pay it anyway. But there is also another thing. You know, the Constitution Tribunal in Poland ruled a few days ago that the European Union and the European Court of Justice do not have the right to say anything in the matter of the Polish justice system. So if they take their own verdict serious, and the tribunal, Constitution Tribunal, is suspected to be very close with the ruling party here in Poland, they neither should pay the fine nor change their politics.
What could de-escalate the situation at this point?
Well, if you ask me about Poland, actually here in Poland, I cannot see any authority which could, you know, come and just say the game is over. We have the opposition who is blaming all the time the ruling party. And we have, of course, the government which says we are on the right way. So my prognosis is rather pessimistic.
Our correspondent Magdalena Gworst in Warsaw. Thank you so much. Now to some other stories making news. Polish lawmakers are voting on plans to build a wall along the country's border to Belarus to keep migrants out. Poland and other EU states accuse Belarusian leader Alexander Lukashenko of trafficking asylum seekers into the bloc in retaliation for EU sanctions. And a multinational sting operation has led to the arrests of 150 people for suspected online drug trafficking. The operation included 9 countries and focused on the dark net, a hidden part of the internet. Authorities say Operation Dark Hunter recovered millions of euros in cash, cryptocurrency, and illicit drugs. U.S. authorities have launched a new legal battle to try to get WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange extradited. This comes after a U.K. court ruled in January that Assange could not be extradited due to concerns over his mental health. WikiLeaks published secret American military documents a decade ago. Assange has spent years both in hiding and in British prisons as he fights extradition.
Julian Assange supporters gather outside the Royal Courts of Justice in London. The WikiLeaks founder, they say, doesn't belong in prison.
Well, I would like to see Julian Assange released. I'd like to see a statue erected for Julian Assange. You know, he's a hero. You know, along with people like Edward Snowden or Chelsea Manning. You know, these people are there to actually represent our freedoms.
To his supporters, the prosecution of Assange is also a prosecution of the free press.
He is a truth teller. He told us the truth about war crimes. So the truth teller, the journalist, the publisher who told us about war crimes is the one who's in prison. And the people who committed it are not.
Assange was arrested 2.5 years ago after his political asylum in the Ecuadorian embassy in London expired. He was taken to Belmarsh High Security Prison. Washington is calling for his extradition to the U.S., where he faces espionage charges and up to 175 years imprisonment. In January, a London court ruled against the extradition, citing Assange's poor mental health and the prison conditions he would likely face in the U.S. The new appeal is the latest effort by American lawyers to secure Assange's extradition. The British court's decision is expected in 4 to 6 weeks.
A Paris museum will hand back cultural artifacts looted from West Africa during the colonial era. The 26 items being exhibited for the final time in the Quai Branly Museum will be returned to the Republic of Benin. They were stolen in 1892, and they were among 5,000 works requested by the West African country. French art historians say about 90% of Africa's cultural heritage is believed to be in Europe.
These statues are being paid an official visit by French President Emmanuel Macron and a delegation from Benin at Paris's Quai Branly Museum. They're part of a trove of objects France is returning to the West African country. Nearly 130 years ago, French colonial troops took the treasures from what was then known as Dahomey. Among them, these statues, which are said to give soldiers strength in battle. The works are of immense importance for several generations of people in Benin and across Africa. They're evidence of the artistic expertise of the Kingdom of Dahomey. On a visit to Burkina Faso in 2017, President Macron announced the return of important artworks to Africa. French art historian Bénédicte Savoy, who advised the French government on the matter, says the move is nothing less than historic.
It's a huge step because it's the first time a colonial power is returning something important. And we'll see what the next steps are. What is clear is that this event is comparable to the fall of the Berlin Wall. There will be a before and an after.
The pieces can be seen in Paris only for a few more days. After their return, they are to be exhibited in Benin, where organizers anticipate large public interest.
We are learning more about the fatal Alec Baldwin movie set shooting. Local authorities in Santa Fe County, New Mexico, have revealed that 2 people inspected the gun but failed to notice a live round inside of it. A search of the set has recovered 600 items, including 3 guns and 500 rounds of ammunition, some of it live. The sheriff's department will hand over its evidence to the FBI. Actor and producer Alec Baldwin was practicing for a scene when he shot and killed film cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the low-budget film Rust. The director was also injured but survived. No criminal charges have been brought as of yet, but there are plenty of unanswered questions, including how no one noticed that the gun was loaded.
That's what we're trying to determine. The people that inspected or handled the firearm when it was loaded before it got to Mr. Baldwin, we're interviewing. And there's some follow-up questions that we need to do. So there's further investigation, further interviews, and we're going to try and determine exactly how that happened and if they should have known that there was a live round in that firearm.
Karen Helmstedt from DW Culture is following the latest on this story for us. Karen, what else came out of that press conference?
Well, you know, Sumi, it was almost a bit surprising, I found, because relatively little new information, really. Surprising, really, because it's been nearly a week since the incident itself. But basically what we know is that no one has been charged, and yet at the same time, no one has been ruled out. So criminal charges against Alec Baldwin have also not been ruled out. We learned that the gun that he used was a vintage pistol that did contain a live lead round, and they were able to recover this lead projectile from the shoulder of the director, Joel Souza, who was, of course, also injured. And the evaluation of all of forensic evidence and the various ballistics analysis seems to be ongoing. Investigators have confirmed also that they did find several firearms and also many, many rounds of ammunition, some loose, some in boxes. This is, of course, extremely bizarre because the director has, Joel Souza, as I mentioned, has told investigators that he absolutely expected and needed no live ammunition on his set. He wasn't aware that this was there. So this is a kind of a bit of a strangeness about it all. It remains to be seen how those live rounds actually got into the gun, who was last in contact with it before the assistant director handed it to Mr. Baldwin. But it was a real gun, not a prop, and the investigation's ongoing.
Well, you mentioned the assistant director. There's been a lot of focus on him. Was there any new information on him from this press conference?
Very, very little, actually. And what we have learned, of course, in the last couple of days is that there have been concerns about his behavior on sets of previous productions for actually the past couple of years. He's been, people have complained that he's very lax with safety protocols, that he doesn't really like to follow rules, and that he's perhaps a bit too pushy in pushing his teams into overtime. So a lot of things that could definitely raise questions about the safety culture of the employees on set. There were two other accidental gun discharges on this set, actually just a couple of days before this incident. So there's a lot of questions around what the police have actually called complacency with weapons on this set. Why the armorer wasn't on top of what was actually in the guns, why he didn't sufficiently check, because she, Hannah Gutierrez-Chain, claims that she did actually do a check, but of course failed to notice this live round.
What about Alec Baldwin's involvement in all of this?
Well, that's really interesting because nothing was said about him really at all, but we know that as an actor, it's very, very unlikely that he's going to be held liable for in any way for this, because obviously he was taking a gun that he was assured was a cold gun and was therefore unloaded and safe. On the other hand, he is one of the producers. He's obviously going to possibly face a collective liability there. On the other hand, he's one of a larger group of producers. I think there are about a dozen of them. It's not clear who actually had direct budgetary decisions, whether he's just a passive investor, and who is making all of the decisions in terms of safety on set. So those are questions that still need to be answered. And as the DA said, she likes to be thorough, so this investigation could indeed take weeks and up to months.
All right, Karen Helmstedt from DW Culture, thanks for bringing us up to date.
Pleasure.
And we have one football item for you, a big upset in the German Cup. Bayern Munich have crashed out after being hammered 5-0 by Borussia Mönchengladbach. Rami Bensebani scored twice for Gladbach in the first half, and Biel Mbolo also got two in the second. It is Bayern's worst ever defeat in the German Cup. The hazelnut crunch, why there is controversy clouding Nutella's key ingredient. Rob Watts has the details on DW Business. Stay tuned.